But they, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Our Father, this morning we need your help. We need your help to know and understand your word. I need your help to preach your word. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would guide my mind and my mouth to say only those things that are true according to your word, but also that the things that we need to hear. Help me to communicate in a manner that will resonate with people, that they can receive it and understand it. And Lord, may we be changed and transformed today by your word. I pray that you'd be glorified in all these things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever given a gift to a small child? Maybe you put a lot of effort into this gift. You picked it out thinking of them and the things that they that they are interested in, and you thought this is ideal for them. They're going to love this thing. Maybe you even spent a fair amount of money on that gift. And you give it to them only to find out that they're more interested in the box than what's inside of the box. You ever seen that before? My wife and I have sat around at times with little kids on Christmas or birthday and thought, boy, we could have saved ourselves a lot of money if we would have just gotten some boxes for them to play with instead of actually, investing in this gift. Isn't it funny how sometimes a person, especially a child, can be more interested in the package than the contents? In other words, more interested and more focused on the means of receiving something than that which is actually being given. I think this is pretty descriptive of really what the Pharisees were and the way that they approached the Word of God and the law of God. They became very fixated on the details of the law, but they missed the whole point of the law. They were zealous of the finer details and the word for word description of God's expectations, but they missed what God was trying to teach through the law itself. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, fixated on facts, but missing what matters. Fixated on facts, but missing what matters. This is exactly what the Pharisees are doing here in this chapter. Jesus and his disciples are going about on the Sabbath day. The way that it reads, it implies that they're walking to the synagogue. This would have been common practice. They would have gone to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and had a time of worship there as they would have opened the scriptures and read them. And as they're going through the field on the Sabbath day, the disciples of Jesus are hungry. And as they go, they're not stopping. They're not trying to harvest a bunch of grain and turn around and sell it or anything like that. But as they walk, they're just kind of picking some of the grain there and eating it and trying to fill their belly a little bit. And the Pharisees come in. They stop them and they say, whoa, wait a second here. This is a violation of the law regarding the Sabbath. This is, you're doing work on the Sabbath day. really what we find is that the Pharisees and many of the more traditional Jews had taken the laws that God had given, and they had added some additional requirements and expectations to the law in an effort not to violate God's law. They added to it, even though God said don't do that. And through their traditions, they made all of these kind of burdensome things where, hey, you can't do this and you can't do that. And certainly in their mind, picking some grain to eat it would have been a violation of the Sabbath day. And so to them, they're looking at this and saying, Jesus in his disciples, or through his disciples, is violating the law of God. Now, Jesus ends up clarifying them for them that that actually was not a violation of the law. But I want to just kind of stick to this point for a moment, that it is possible for us to, maybe for lack of a better term, to major on minors, and in majoring on minors, actually miss the big picture. Have you ever noticed that before? We can become very focused, very fixated on certain issues and certain elements, and in the process end up missing the whole thing that God would have us. For instance, one example of this. I have seen Christians become very zealous about issues like standards and separation, and yet fail to really measure up in the weightier matters of a heart that is right with God, like walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Now, that is not to say that these issues don't matter. I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't teach standards and separation, because it does. It absolutely does. But it teaches those things as a result of a desire to live a holy life pleasing to God, not the inverse of that. It's not that our separation makes us holy, but rather that a desire to be holy will cause us to be separated. But what the issue becomes is that often if we get so fixated on this issue, we begin to think in our mind that somehow these things make me holy. And that's just not the case. The Pharisees were guilty of that outside-in approach, that cleansing the outside of the vessel and trying to do all the things that are right. But Jesus' testimony of them was that their heart was far from him. And I can't help but think that there may be some people that are sitting here in this room this morning who maybe outwardly everything looks fine and looks good, but maybe you're focusing on the wrong things and you're not actually right with God in your heart. That was the issue with the Pharisees. They had become fixated on the law to such a degree that anything that could even be perceived as a potentially a violation of the law, to them, this was a huge deal. This was so obviously not of God, and yet they missed what really mattered. I want to say to you, first of all, this morning, that they missed, in their fixation on this minor thing, they missed the spirit of the law that God had given. They come to Jesus and they say, hey, your disciples are doing that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days. Now, Jesus clarifies for them that that is not the case. And the way that we know that, notice what it says here in verse number 7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the, what is that next word? Guiltless. Guiltless. So what he's saying is, they are not guilty of violating the Sabbath. They have not done that. You might think they have, but that's not what they've done. They have not violated the Sabbath. However, what he's really getting at here is that in the process of trying to zealously defend the Sabbath day, they missed the bigger picture and the bigger point. The parallel passage to this is over in Mark chapter 2, and the way that it's described there is that Jesus said it this way, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And so, in essence, you have this situation where God is saying that the reason that he gave the Sabbath day, or at least one of the reasons that he gave the Sabbath day, was to provide a rest for the people of God. To provide them a day where they could set aside their work and all those things that they had to do to live and survive. But one day out of the week, the seventh day, they were to not do any kind of work or labor. They weren't to harvest. They weren't to build things. They weren't even to kindle a fire. Why? Because God wanted to provide an opportunity for his people to set their minds on him and off of the things of the world. But what had happened was, now the Pharisees had taken what God intended to be a blessing and they had turned it into a burden, to where now people were living in this kind of fear. Well, if I do this, is that going to violate the law? Am I going to get in trouble? Is God going to be angry with me if I do this or that? And that which was meant to be a day of rest had become a day of almost consternation, to make sure I'm not doing something to mess this up. Matthew Henry puts it this way. He says, of the Pharisees, it is common for men of corrupt minds, by zeal in their rituals and the external external services of religion, to think to atone for the looseness of their morals. But they are cursed who add to, as well as they who take away from, the words of this book. I think that's a really good point. These people are, rather than embracing what God is trying to give them, they're actually adding to the book, and they think that somehow this makes them better Christians or better Jews, but they were not. They were not. And so Jesus then clarifies that there actually were exceptions to this particular rule, if you could put it that way, and in two aspects. One is that sometimes there are needs that go beyond just the basic needs of life, and these apparently are grounds for doing some work on the Sabbath day. And he uses an example. He says of David, he refers to when David was running from Saul, and he goes to Abiathar the priest there at Nob, and the men who are with him are hungry, but there was no food there except the showbread that was there in the tabernacle. And the showbread was there, it was only to be eaten by the priests and by the Levites, those who had been sanctified for that purpose. And yet, there was this allowance that was made for David and his men to eat that showbread, verse number 4. And then he says in verse number 5, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So you have the temple there, and sacrifices were to be made, and that showbread was to be there, and certain candles were to be lit, and all of those things were to be done every single day. And even on the Sabbath days, the priests did these things. Were they violating the law of God? No, God told them to do these things. And I want to say this, that there is some practical application to that today as well, even though we don't live under the law of the Sabbath. I think that I believe that it is right for God's people to prioritize being in God's house on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week. I don't think that anything really should get in the way of that. I believe the Bible bears that out, that we ought to be in church. You ought to be in church. And I encourage people, I tell people all the time, don't work on Sundays. Don't just pick up some extra overtime because it's available on Sunday. Trust God to take care of your needs. Don't do those things. However, I also recognize that there are some people who have to work on Sundays. I'm thankful that even while we sit here in church, there's police officers that are out patrolling our streets, and if we had a need, we could call and they'd be here. I'm thankful that there's firefighters and ambulance workers and doctors and things on. Sometimes there are necessities that cause us to have to kind of get out of the way of that, but the principle remains. And that's kind of the idea of what he's saying here. Listen, yes, you need to obey the law according to the Sabbath, but there are exceptions to that. And one of those exceptions is when a person is hungry and in need, they ought to be able to eat. This is supposed to be a blessing, not a curse. The other side of that is not only the necessities, but acts of mercy. He goes into the synagogue here, verse number 10, and there's a man with this withered hand, and they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And so they're using this man, this disabled man with this crippled hand, they're using him as a prop to try to prove their point. And then notice what it says at the end of the verse, that they might accuse him. They were not asking this question because they wanted to understand. They were asking this question because they wanted to accuse Jesus. Let me say this, as a pastor, I welcome questions from everyone. Next Sunday night, we're going to have just a Q&A time and give you an opportunity. If you got Bible questions, if you got questions about issues, bring those questions. And I'll do my best by God's grace to open the Bible and try to provide you with a Bible answer. And I welcome questions. However, I am not very appreciative of questions that have a different motive behind them than just to understand. Like a sincere question, hey, I want to understand this better. I want to understand your position on this. What does the Bible have to say about this? That is, bring them. I want them. But sometimes questions are framed in a way where the person asking the question doesn't really want to get an answer. They're actually looking to make an accusation. They're looking to cause a problem. These Pharisees, they didn't really care what the heart of Jesus was. They didn't really care what the heart of God was on this matter. They just wanted to find a way to trip Jesus up. And so here, there's now rather than letting him heal this man on the Sabbath day, they're trying to stand there as an obstacle to a man being healed. Jesus then uses this example, and verse 11, he says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift him out? If you've got an animal that falls into a pit, there's a crisis moment, are you not going to violate the Sabbath day and go? And yeah, of course you're going to do that. But what's more important, a sheep or a person? This issue of mercy. And see, here's the thing. It is possible for us to know a lot of the Bible and even be able to quote it, but to kind of miss the point, to get fixated on issues and little things that are supposed to point to the whole. And it's like that child who looks at the box that the gift is packaged in and says, I want the box. I don't care so much about what's inside of that box. The Bible, folks, we need to understand this. The Bible is not given to us as just a list of rules. You understand that? I'm not saying that any part of the Bible is unimportant. These are the words of God. And it's all profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's all necessary. This is the authoritative word of God. But understand something. This is not just a list of do's and don'ts. And it's not just a bunch of principles that are going to give you a better life. The purpose of the Word of God is to reveal to us who God is and who we are. And to drive us to know Him and love Him. But when we miss that, we become fixated on a fact, but we miss what matters. So they miss the spirit of the law. Not only do they miss the spirit of the law, but they overlook the soul of men. Look at what it says there in verse number 14. Then saith he to the man, this man with the withered hand, right? Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. So now this Jesus heals this man. I mean, he healed. This is a miracle. They have just experienced, they have visibly seen the power of God and the way that he can change someone's life like that. And he heals this man. And look what their response is. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. I mean, think about this. These people have no care whatsoever for this man with a withered hand. That's tragic. It's terrible. It's terrible when a person's fixation on certain aspects of the Word of God supersedes our love for other people. Can I remind you that in Matthew 22, Jesus made it clear that the laws, specifically the Ten Commandments, there was a key takeaway. When asked what is the greatest commandment in the law, he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That was the number one thing they were to do. So here they are, they're fixated on the Sabbath day, which was part of loving the Lord, but they're not loving the Lord, they're just loving the Sabbath day. And then he said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That was the other takeaway. If you read, you know, the other commandments, the commandment 5 through 10, those six commandments, they're all about loving your neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But here they are, not loving their neighbor. I mean, they're so confident that what they are supposed to do is just make sure when you walk through that field, you don't grab one of those grains and eat it. But let the guy that's sitting there with the withered hand, let him sit for another day, because you can't heal on the Sabbath day. Do you see how you can become so fixated on something that you miss the big picture? They're missing the fact that God was trying to teach them, love God and love your neighbor. That doesn't mean that these other commandments don't matter, but those commandments are given to teach you how to love God and love your neighbor. So if you are doing these things, but not loving God or loving your neighbor, you're wrong. And friend, you can be doing all the right things, but if your heart's not right with God, and if you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not right with God. They overlooked the soul. We come to the New Testament, and there's a doctrine that we hold very dear as Baptists. We believe in individual soul liberty. That means we believe that every Christian answers to God for their own life. We believe in that. And so, because of that, every individual has to make some decisions in their own life of how they're going to apply the Word of God. There are certain things that are clear commandments. There's no room for, you know, everything is very black and white. There's no room for interpretation. There are other places where God gives us some principles, but the application of those principles is kind of a personal thing. And you have to make some determinations between you and God, what is right for me and for my family so that I can fall in line with this teaching of the Word of God. And apply it practically in everyday life. There are some things like that. But in this subject of Christian liberty, there was one issue specifically that was confusing to a lot of New Testament Christians that first century. And that was the issue of eating food that had been offered in sacrifice to idols. There are basically two schools of thought, right? Where one is, well, we know that there's only one God, an idol is nothing, and so, you know, we're in Christ, we're under grace, and so we can eat food that's been offered to idols. It's not going to hurt anything. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him, what's in his heart. Okay, fine. Other people had just been saved out of a life of idolatry, and to them, the thought of eating food that had been sacrificed to idols was so ungodly and wicked, they think, well, there's no way I could ever do this. And in the New Testament, we find there's teaching that says it's possible for both sides of that issue to be right. It's possible for people in a church over on this side to say, well, we're not going to eat anything that's offered to idols. And over here, well, you know, it's fine. We're going to do that by faith and with thanksgiving to God. We're just going to eat it. But the issue that is taught in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans chapter 14, and basically the whole concept is this: whatever decision you make, it needs to be motivated by love for God and love for your brother. So 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, it says this: now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Romans 14 and verse 15, it says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, whatever decision you make, you better be sure that you are loving God and loving your brother, and you're not just considering yourself. The Pharisees missed this altogether. They had no love for God, and they had no love for their brethren. And so Jesus makes this quote in Hosea, from Hosea 6:6, in verse number 7, he says, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. He's quoting Hosea 6:6, which says this: for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In other words, what God is saying is this: what's going on the outside of your life doesn't matter as much as what's going on the inside of your heart. Now, he doesn't say that it doesn't matter. But what he's pointing to is that it needs to originate from a heart that loves God. And I'm more concerned about mercy than I am about sacrifice. I'm more concerned about loving God and loving your neighbor than I am about exactly your perfect adherence, even to, for instance, keeping the Sabbath day. But instead, you know the Bible, but you don't really know the Bible. That's a very insulting thing, honestly, for him to say. But if ye had known what this meaneth. In other words, you know what it says. The problem is you don't know what it means. Imagine the Pharisees, these are the teachers of the law, the doctors of the law. And Jesus says, you don't get it. You don't get it. You can quote the scripture, but you don't actually know what it means. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm preaching with somewhat of a burden on my heart for the fact that I'm afraid a lot of God's people have a lot of knowledge, but don't really have a love for God. Don't really have a love for His people. And if that's you this morning, you're missing what really matters. They missed the spirit of the law. They overlooked the souls of men. And the most grievous thing about the whole passage that we have read is that in their fixation on the fact of the Sabbath day, they missed the Savior Himself. They were zealous about the law, but they didn't even know that God was in their presence. Think about that. Here they come to Jesus and, hey, your disciples, they're not following the Sabbath laws. Look what he says in verse number 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. You know what he's telling them? Hey, do you not realize I'm the one that gave the law? I'm greater than the temple. The temple is just a building. The temple was just a place. It was just the means to worship God. But I am God. I am Lord even of the Sabbath day. That's who I am. Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. How tragic. They were so zealous for the law, but they hated the lawgiver. They loved the adherence to the ordinances, but despised the one who gave them to them for their good. And he said in Hosea 6:6 that the purpose of all of this was that he desired and loved mercy more than sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But these people didn't know God. They didn't know God. Listen, those of you who've been around me for some time know me enough to know that one of my burdens, and really I see it as being kind of one of the missions that God has given me in life, is to try to connect with people who are raised in a Bible-preaching church, in a Christian home, that second generation, that third generation, and try to challenge them to know God personally for themselves. Because there are a lot of Pharisees sitting in churches who know a whole lot about the Bible. Maybe they could, you know, run circles around some of us in quoting scripture verses, and they can tell you all the Bible stories, and they can tell you how to look right, how to talk right, how to dress right, how to sing right, but their heart is far from God. There are many like that today. And what I want to say to you this morning, if there's anything that you get from this message, it's this. Don't miss the Savior. Don't elevate religion above Him. Everything that we're doing here, we do be out of a desire to obey the Lord. I believe this book is our rule for faith and practice. And so we strive that, you know, when we meet together as a church family, that with our worship services, we want them to be in line with the scriptures. We try to direct our polity, how decisions are made here, how our structure is. We try to direct it by the Word of God. But all of these things are a means to an end. Understand what I'm saying in that. We want to obey the Lord, but this is all a means to know Him. And if we fail to know Him, it doesn't matter how right we are on these other issues. Don't miss Jesus. Friend, what you need today is not to be a better member of Mount Zion Baptist Church. It's to know Him. And if you'll know Him, guess what? It'll change everything in your life. And you will begin to fall in line with His Word. But the big picture, the big point, is to know God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know Him? The Pharisees were fixated on the law, but they missed what really mattered. The knowledge of God. Do you know God? The reason we read down through verse 21 is because he then goes out and begins to minister to the people outside of the synagogue. And really his ministry now is beginning to even have an effect on the Gentiles. And he says, you know, don't tell anyone. He charged them that they should not make him known, verse 16. But then verses 17 through 21 are another Old Testament quotation. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. And what this quotes is the first several verses of Isaiah chapter 42. In promise of the Messiah that would come. Why does this matter? It matters because in the process of being zealous for the law, the Pharisees missed that the fulfillment of all of the law and the prophets was right in their midst. He was right in front of their nose, and they couldn't see Him. Remember, the book of Matthew really is written to us to portray Jesus as he is, the King of the Jews, and the fulfillment of all the prophecies that went on before concerning the Messiah. I would encourage you to, and when you read through this book, read through the book of Isaiah at the same time. And you know what you find? There's a lot of overlap. Because Jesus came and fulfilled everything that was said that the Messiah would be, and they missed it. They missed it. And I want to say to you this morning, especially young people, it's possible for you to know the Bible and miss the Savior. It's possible for you to have all the right words to say, you can answer all the right questions, but not really know Him. And my plea to you today is don't miss the Savior. You need a relationship with Him. You need to know Him. He came for you. He died in your place. He rose again and offers to you forgiveness and eternal life. If you'll simply come to the Father through Him, place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and enter into a personal relationship with Him. And if you have never been saved, today is the day of salvation. Turn to Christ and be saved. Maybe you've been saved and you know the Lord, but you're becoming very focused on different aspects of the Bible, but not really seeing Him through it all. And I just want to say to you this morning, I am not in any way, don't misunderstand me, I'm not minimizing what the Bible has said. Every word of God is authoritative. But understand that behind it, there is a bigger picture that God is trying to show you. He wants you to know Him. And if you ignore Him, and you just elevate some point, some commandment, you miss Him. You become fixated on a fact, but you miss what matters. Don't miss the big picture. Don't live your life loving the box, but missing the gift. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this example of Jesus teaching.